In April 1995, breakfast radio in the UK was about to be turned on its head.
Chris Evans is a working-class lad from Warrington.
He will need to be managed.
It would never be quite the same again.
The disc jockey Chris Evans,
saviour of Radio 1.
Here we go.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show is about to launch on BBC Radio 1.
He just came on with this optimism and energy and zest. Don't worry, I'm here now, it's going to be fine.
And I was part of it.
All right then, that's what's just happened right here, right now, on this station.
I'm Holly Samos, also known as Holly Hot Lips, and along with Dan McGrath, or Dan the Sound Man, as he was known, and Johnny Boy Revel, we were the team, the gang, call us what you will, that formed the backbone to the most revolutionary and at times controversial breakfast show to hit UK radio.
It's not the first time Evans has landed in hot water with his BBC bosses.
He is what he is. He is a maverick.
For the first time in 25 years, the three of us have got together again behind a microphone to share the stories about what really went on behind the scenes.
This is the team who produced the Radio 1 breakfast show every morning for an audience of 8 million people.
The shenanigans, both on and off air.
As a regular listener to your show, I heard Dan peel an orange with one hand this morning.
And the fun that we had that helped make the Chris Evans Breakfast Show the most listened to radio programme of the 90s.
Wonderful music, a talented jock, Monday to Friday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock.
This is Breaking Breakfast.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Is that live? It's okay. One, two, three. Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Hello, everyone. My name's Dan the Soundman. Still. You all right? You happy with that?
I still didn't. You didn't give me any Nurofen.
Oh, do you want Nurofen?
You got a headache.
Do you want Nurofen?
I had a few whiskies last night.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Because this is good, because Holly's hungover, which
Holly's
is like...
already got.
This is like going back to the old days. Holly's actually got a hangover. This is brilliant.
Not Holly Hotley, it's Holly Hangover.
That sounds dreadful.
Anyway, right, so let's crack on then.
Is it 25 years since the three of us have sat like this in a room with microphones?
Is it really?
It must be. It must be that we've done this in this sort of configuration. The reason we all know each other is obviously because of Evans. Because when I met him in 92, I went to work on The Big Breakfast in 1992, September, I think it was. So I joined as a sound engineer, as a junior kind of sound engineer. I arrived there. The house was full of all these people in their 20s running around like mad things, getting this new Channel 4 breakfast show on, you know, up and running and up on its back legs. And I just arrived and went, this is the greatest thing ever.
Good morning and welcome to the show.
So were you called Dan the Sound Man straight away?
No, that was Chris that came up with that, because obviously what happened with The Big Breakfast is they designed the show to work for Chris because he'd come from the radio background that you'd known him from. And I think what they'd done is they'd spotted him and they'd gone, right, well, this breakfast show that we're going to make and he's going to present has got to work for him. So they ran it. It was run almost like a radio show insofar as he needed foils. He needs sidekicks. He needed people there to be the butt of the jokes, the straight man, whatever it might be. And I remember the first time I actually met him, I was putting batteries in microphones in one of the little side rooms of that house in Bow in East London. And I'm battering up microphones at 6 a.m, whatever time it was. And he came through, tall, flowery shirt, colourful jeans, the uniform they had him wearing every day, shock of red hair, the glasses, the classic, you know, look. And he went, all right, mate, I'm Chris. Who are you? And put his hand out. And I went, oh, I'm Dan. And I just remember, and he breezed through and off he went. Anyway,
when did you get called Dan the
Sound
Man?
Well, that just happened because what he would do something on the air and go, quick, somebody deliver a punchline. I must have done a couple that were okay. He went, right, you're one. And then Sean, the cameraman, was the other one that we started getting hauled in. And of course, I was Dan and I did sound. So it's not a big leap of faith.
We'd also like to say a very big happy birthday to Dan, our sound man. Not him, but his mother, Mrs. McGrath. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mum.
Happy birthday, Mum.
There we are, thank you. What?
What? It wasn't very sincere, was it, Dan?
It was.
Happy birthday, Mum.
That's better.
He can do better than that. Go on.
Happy birthday, Mum.
Yeah. Sound like you're going out with your mum there. Yeah. Happy birthday, Mum. You're such a babe.
So I met before that. So when I was working for a company called Radio Radio, which was owned by Virgin, and I was a producer there. And what Radio
was this,
Radio
was this
did,
like the 1950s or something?
Something like that. It was black and white, that's for sure. ages. I'm going to phone Age Concern when I get out of this place. I've got Esther Ranson. She'll be after you.
Sorry. Yeah.
So Radio Radio was a big production company that made radio programming for all the smaller independent commercial stations and gave them big names. So there were people like Jonathan Ross, Ruby Wax, so big acts that they couldn't afford. And what it would do, it would come on air at night about 10 o'clock and all these little stations would go off the air with their local presenters and it would be on.
Well, I hope you've been having a lovely week, ladies and gentlemen. I certainly have been having a splendid time, as always. I don't want you to get too excited about what's coming up in the show, but we do have a very, very special guest phoning in late. I'll tell you exactly who in a couple of minutes. And on the way in this evening, I met my assistant, Chris. I'm sure he's going off his rocker. He came up to me and he said, Jonathan, the abominable snowman has never been seen, yet he does exist. And he looked at me and said, yet he does exist. Now, what, is that meant to be a joke or something? I don't know. I'm surrounded by lunatics. This is the Four Seasons, I believe. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night, missus. Shum! 1-2. 1-2. Testing. Shum!
Well, I was there working there as a producer, and there was a guy called Andy Bird who was head of programming. I was there, and Andy said to me one day, I said, I've got this mate of mine coming down from Manchester. And he said, can he work with you? Can you show him? He's coming down to be a producer. Can you show him what to do? Show him the ropes? I said, yeah, no worries. So I was in one of the offices, and I was putting a stand together for a Revox tape machine. And so I'm there putting this thing together and the door flies open and there was Evo standing in the doorway. And as you quite rightly say, Dan, he's very tall. Most people don't realise how tall he is.
Yeah.
Tall. And he had this, obviously the shock of red hair when it really was like red. And he had one of these leather jerkins, you know, like you see them in First World War films. Where
like a bomber
troops,
jacket.
Like the troops wear them in the trenches. He's got, and he's got this on. Who the fucking hell was this? So he came in and he went, hey, John, I'm Chris. How are you? And he came straight over him. Fair play to him.
Those are his Italian years.
Yeah. He jumped down on, and he helped me put this tape machine stand together. And we finished it and we put the Revox on. And I said, we'll laugh about this one day, Chris. Anyway, so we started, you know, I kind of shown him what we were doing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we got to lunchtime and I said, oh, let's go to the pub. There's a pub across the road.
He wasn't a presenter at this point.
No, he was a producer. Yeah, he hadn't presented. I think he'd come from Piccadilly because he'd been working with Timmy Mallett. And that's really where he learnt his chops. He got his chops from Timmy. There's no question about that. But he did have his own show at Piccadilly. And so I said to him, oh, let's go to the pub. There's a pub. He went, oh, no, I don't drink very much.
Interestingly. You soon change that then, Johnny.
So we go over there and I said, well, just come and, you know, have whatever. So we go over there and so I order a pint and I said, what do you want? He said, I'll have a shandy. And he was drinking shandy. And I thought, what a ponce. Anyway, life moved on and we were there and I was producing Johnny Walker, I think. Johnny Walker said to us, here, boys, I'm going to give you the heads up. Radio London's changing and it's going to be called GLR.
Greater London Radio.
Yeah, and they're looking for producers. Why don't you two go and see it? So we did, and we both got jobs as producers at GLR.
This is GLR 94.9. The greatest music, the latest news for London from the BBC.
From 7 until 8.
So I was producing Tommy. He was producing Emma Freud on the morning show. Then he was going to jump ship. He got a job offer at Radio 1 as a producer. And Matthew Bannister, who's the boss to GLR, didn't want him to go. Said, what could I do to make you stay? So Chris said, well, I want my own show. And he gave him a show. It was an evening show, which came on after Drive. It was 7 o'clock and it was called The Greenhouse. And that's where you come in.
That's where I met him.
Yeah.
That's right. So I was doing my degree in Ealing in West London. And one of the producers of GLR phoned the college and said, we need some students to come in to be part of this feature. And it was a radio feature. So I went in with some mates and did the feature in the greenhouse. And Chris at that point had his studio is full of green
plants.
Yeah,
he's planting every night, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, his attention to detail. Mm-hmm. No, it's called the greenhouse. I've got to have plants. We're like that. Yeah, but Chris, it's radio.
No. But this is what was so brilliant about it.
There's another great story about that, I'll tell you.
This is what was so brilliant about it was the whole studio was full of plants. And so you couldn't kind of see each other. You were sitting across the desk from each other, but you couldn't really see each other because it was all these. It was like David Bellamy.
They had to come out every night. So whilst Tom is still on the air,
these
kids would be coming in. We're coming in a fucking florist.
We were. Right,
people
were
coming in and out.
Pot plants.
We're big pot plants. And Tommy's like that. What the fuck's going on here, Rev?
Anyway, so I was one of those students that came in, and then we all went to Madame Jojo's, which was this club in Soho afterwards, because the show finished at 10. And had such a laugh. And then he said, if you're doing a media course, do you want to work on the show? Free of charge, but, you know, you could do, like, answer the phones or whatever. So I did. I went in every week and I answered the phones on the show. And then he kind of hauled me in to be kind of like you were saying, Dan, about being at the Big Breakfast. I was answering the phones and then suddenly I was part of the show. He would start using his friends as to be part of the show. So I had a voice on the show as well. And so I was 19 and he was 23 then.
And that's when met you.
And that's when we met, John.
Our paths would cross.
Guest on the phone. Noel Edmonds going to be on the phone today. Tony Blackburn on the phone. And Sean Connery on the phone. All coming up in the last ever round of Chris's. Once again, hello to the girls downstairs. Hello, girls downstairs. Hello to the boys downstairs. Hello to the boys upstairs. And the girls upstairs too. Andy's here.
Hello.
Carol's here.
Hello.
Dan's here. I'm here. Lisa's here. We're all here.
You left me here on your way.
When it came to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, now at that point, you and I were working together, John, at Virgin Radio. You were at the Big Breakfast, weren't you?
Yeah.
So this is like early 1995, and Radio 1 was huge, wasn't it?
It was the biggest station in the country.
And Steve Wright was doing the breakfast show.
Hello, good morning. This is Steve Wright in the morning for today, Thursday, 24th November, 1994. The news next.
Matthew Bannister, who was the boss at GLR, went to take over Radio 1. And what he did, he was going to make Radio 1 a bit like GLR, which, of course, didn't work at all. I mean, GLR was a very London-centric station. I think they lost something like 3 or 4 million listeners pretty quickly, and it was in really dire straits. And they changed the breakfast show host to put Steve Wright on.
Yeah.
So I then get a call from Chris. So as Holly said, her and I, we were at Virgin. So I was programme director and Holly was working with me, and Chris phoned me up and said, Matthew Bannister has asked me if I'd do the breakfast show. What do you think?
And this was a huge secret, wasn't it?
Oh, massive.
No one, you and him and Matthew knew.
So I said, well, let's meet up and have a chat about it. So I went to see him, and so I said, look, I think one of the problems they've got is the music, because Virgin Radio was going through the roof. By default of people leaving Radio 1, our ratings were going up. So I said to Chris two things. One, where are you going to get the listeners back from? Most of them have gone to Virgin. So I would be pitching the music to aim at Virgin. But I said, secondly, you're going to have trouble getting control of this, because Trevor Dann, who was like the head of music, but he was controlling the music. I said, he's not going to let you do that. So Chris said to me, well, what if I said to them I want to do it as an independent production? And I said, well, I'm not going to let you do that.
And that was unheard of, wasn't it?
Well, never been done before. Never been done before. And he said, well, they've got no choice, because if they want me to do it, they'll have to do it. And I went, wow. And he said, will you come and do it with me? So I went, ooh, wow, I don't know, really. That's really quite exciting, isn't it?
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realised what you got to do.
We said yes, and so he went back to them and said, you know, fate accompli, really, I'll come and do it, but we want to do it as an independent production. And so that's when we set up Ginger Radio, or Ginger Air, it was called.
And you were Ginger the producer.
Yes, well, we set it up as an independent production company, so I was the managing director of the production company. And I said to Chris, look, I want Holly to come over, which he had no qualms about. I said, well, I think it'd be great for Hull to come over with us.
So I was going to be the researcher.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a celeb booker.
Yeah. And then
but you didn't tell me. So you or Chris said to me, there's a job that I want you to resign from Virgin Radio for. It's a 7-month contract, but we can't tell you what it is.
Next time on Breaking Breakfast.
Why don't we do a covert meeting with Chris and Matthew?
This is mad. What am I doing, you know?
And I thought, I know who'd be a really good person to book. Princess Margaret, because she, you know...
Excuse the mid-90s pun, it was a blur.
Bearing in mind that everybody fucking hated us at Radio 1 and nobody would talk to us.
I'm Dan McGrath, and this is Breaking Breakfast. Leave us a review or rating, and please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Use the hashtag #BreakingBreakfast, or one word, to talk about it on social. It's recorded at Canon Studios, and the series producer is Nick Goodman. Breaking Breakfast is a Bounce production.